Hi, welcome back to the Ayur's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we will be concluding Maseches Edyos and beginning Maseches Avodah Zarah. So the last Mishnah in Maseches Edyos, Periches, the 8th chapter, Mishnah Zion, the 7th Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, Mekubal ani me'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. I received a tradition from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shishama me'Rabbo, who he heard from his teacher, V'Rabbo me'Rabbo, and his teacher heard from his teacher, Halacha l'Mosh mi'Sinai, all the way back to Moses at Sinai, She'en Eliyahu ba l'tami l'taher, that Eliyahu is not going to come and tell us who's fit and who's unfit, l'rachek u'l'karev, and to draw near and to distance, el l'rachek ha'mekarovin bizroa u'l'karev ha'meruchakin bizroa. He's only going to distance those who were brought near forcefully and bring near those who were distanced forcefully. So as we discussed in our previous few Mishnayos, to bring near and to distance means to be able to marry Kohanim. So someone who is distanced is unable to marry a Kohen, and someone who is brought near is able to marry a Kohen. So people who were improperly put in the wrong category, he's going to fix, but not anyone else. Mishpacha based Sarifa, Hayusa be'Ever Hayarden. So there was a family named Tzrifa who lived on the other side of the Jordan River. V'richaka ben Tzion bizroa. And a person named Ben Tzion distanced them forcefully. So they were really fit, and he made it as if they were unfit. V'od acheres ha'isa sham. And there was another family there, the Kerva ben Tzion bizroa. And he brought them near improperly by force. Kagon elu. These are the types of families. Eliyahu bo l'tami u'l'taher u'l'rachek u'l'karev. So it's only families who were improperly placed in the wrong category by force that he's going to clarify their status and fix things accordingly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, l'karev aval lo l'rachek. He will draw near those who were distanced improperly, but he's not going to distance those who were brought near. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, L'hashvos ha'machlokas. What Eliyahu's going to do is he's going to settle arguments. V'chachamim omrim, and the sages say, lo l'rachek v'lo l'karev, he's not going to distance people or bring them near, ela so shalom ba'olam. But what he's going to do is he's going to make peace in the world. Shenemar, and it quotes the pasuk in Malachi, Hine anochi shaleach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi. Behold, I, God, am sending you the prophet Elijah, and it skips a little, v'heshiv levavos al banim, v'lev banim al avosam. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers towards their sons, and the hearts of their sons towards their fathers. All right, let's look at the Bart Neuro on this Mishnah. So first, this tradition that Eliyahu is not coming to draw near and to distance and to declare pure and impure, etc. So that's referred to as Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. It's going all the way back to Moses at Sinai. She'aralo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe B'Sinai Dor Dor V'Dor Shav. So at Sinai, God showed Moshe every subsequent generation. V'arehu She'en Eliyahu Bo L'Tamei U'L'Taher L'Rachik U'L'Karev. And he showed him that Eliyahu is not coming to declare pure and impure and to distance and to draw near. Lebarer Safek Mishpachos Hametumos Minitma Umilonitma, in order to clarify these questions of families, who's fit and who's unfit, etc. Elayniham Vehem Kasherim Lased Lavo, but he's going to leave them alone and they're all going to be fit in the future. The halacha hi mishpacha shet nitma nitma, and the law is that whoever has some disqualification has this disqualification. El rachek hamikrovim bezroa, rather he's only going to distance those who were brought near by force. Shakol mechazki mosan bepsulim ashenis karvu bezroa. So everyone knows that they have these defects, but people were forced to accept them. Aval mishpacha shet nitma machmas shelo noda psula. But a family that was disqualified because they didn't know their defect, yanichena bekashrusa, they will remain in their state of being considered fit. So there was the family of Beis Tzrifa and Ben Tzion Richa. He distanced them. Hichris alehin shehem pesulin. So he spread word. He publicized that they were unfit. Va'od mishpacha acheres ha'isa sham, and there was another family there, shahaisa psula. They actually had disqualifications in the family. The Kerva ben Tzion bizroa, and he brought them near forcefully. Hichwiz alehen shehen kasherim v'hischasen bahem. He brought them near. He publicized that they were fit so that he could marry with them. V'chasatana al kavod abrios, and the reason that it doesn't name the other family, the one who had defects and were brought near forcefully, is because the Tana, who made the statement, had respect for them. V'lo hizkir shem ha-mishpacha ha-psula, and he didn't mention the name of the unfit family, Shekirva ben Sion bizroa, that ben Sion brought close by force, Kamoshe hizkir shem ha-mishpacha ha-kshera, as he mentioned the name of the fit family. L'lamdecha kama tzarech adam lizaher shlo l'saper begnus chavero, in order to teach us how much a person should go out of his way not to speak badly of another person. Im kach b'psulim, if we have to be this careful with people who have disqualifications, kol shekein b'ksherim, how much more so we must be careful not to speak badly of those who don't have such disqualifications. So kagon elu, like these families, shekashrusan upsulusan yedua, whose fit status or unfit status was known, Shinasrahu bizroa, viniskarvu bizroa, but they were distanced or brought close by force. So he's only going to clarify things where everyone knows what the real story is, but people were forced to act otherwise. And the final opinion in our Mishnah is that Eliyahu is coming to make peace, Shinemar, Veheshiv Lev Avos Albanim, because it says that he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and vice versa. Sha'asid Lomar Baruch HaKodesh Zeh Mibnei Banav Shel Zeh. So in the future, he's going to say, through prophecy, that this one is the son of that one, and everyone will know what family they're from. Uldivrei Rabbi Shimon, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Avos Elu HaChachamim, the fathers in this verse are the sages, Ubanim Elu HaTalmidim, and the sons are the students, Shiye Lev Kulan Shave, V'lo Yipol B'nehem Machlokas. So all of them will agree, and there will be peace, and there won't be arguments. Alright, that's the end of the Mishnah, that's the end of the Perek, and that's the end of Maseches Edyos. Thank you for joining us. We now immediately continue with Maseches Avodah Zarah. As luck would have it, I happen to be teaching that Masechta as well. Luck can be good or bad. I'll let you decide. So now what's very important in Maseches Avodah Zarah is that we're not discussing our non-Jewish neighbors. We're discussing real, hardcore idol worshippers, the likes of which none of us have ever seen. And just a brief quote from the Tosfos Yontiv. To call Hani the Isasur Bezuha Masechta, Mayri Ba'avode Alilim, Ba'avodah Zarah Mamish. So all the things that are forbidden in this Masechta are talking about real, actual idolaters. Ve'elo Hagoyim, Lo Ovde Avodah Zarah Mamish Heim. The non-Jews we know are not real idolaters. Klomar, She'enim Yodim B'tov Avodah Zarah Kol Kach. They're not really into idols. And as we say in the first chapter of Chulin, the non-Jews outside of Israel are not actual idolaters. So when we were talking about the nations that were displaced by the Jews when they entered Israel, they were actual idolaters. But the non-Jews we know aren't. But rather, they're just following the religions that they inherited from their parents. So when we talk about the non-Jews in this Masechta, we are talking about real idol worshippers. We're not talking about other non-Jews who may even be monotheists, but even if they're not, they're not necessarily idolaters. That having been said, first Mishnah in the first Perek, Lifnei Edehen Shel Goyim Shlosha Yamim Asur L'Seis U'L'Seisim Ahen. Before the holidays of the non-Jews, and we'll see in a subsequent Mishnah which days those are, for 3 days it is prohibited to do business, to buy and sell with them. L'hashilan u'lishol mehem, to lend them things and to borrow things from them. L'halvosan u'lovos mehen, to lend money or to borrow money. L'ifran u'lifara mehen, to pay debts or to collect debts. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Nifrain mehem im neshehu meitzer lo. Rabbi Yochanan says one may collect a debt because that actually causes the other person distress. Amru lo, they answered him, Afal pi she meitzer hu achshav, even though he's distressed now, Sameach hul acharzman, he eventually rejoices about it. So what's the reason that we're not allowed to have these transactions with idolaters for 3 days before their holidays? So the Bartner tells us, l'seis l'seis. The first one is sin aleph saf. The second one is saf saf. So I'm pronouncing them the same, but they're two different words. Limkor viliknos, they are not allowed to buy and sell. Mishum da azle umode la avodah zarah biyom edam, because they'll go and they'll thank their idol on the holiday that's coming up. So you do business with them, they're happy for their profits, they're happy for the deals they made, they'll thank the idol because the holiday's right around the corner. L'hashilan, so we're not allowed to lend and borrow. Behema v'kelim. We're talking about things like animals and utensils. Midi dehadra be'ena. We're talking about something that you return the actual object. Lahalvosam, this is different from the other word for lending, which is ma'os, money. Delo hadri be'en, because it's not actually returned. The malva lahotsa'a nitna, because something that you lend using that word, you don't expect to get back. It's given away. So I give you $100, you buy something with it, what you return to me is not the same $100 bill. Lifron, you're not allowed to repay. Kishahe nifron, azlu umodu lavarazara biyom edam. Because when they get the money back, again, they will go and thank their idol. And the first opinion is that you can collect from them, neshuhu meitzer, because it causes them distress. Amaosav she'eno chozrim lo, for money that they're not going to get back. V'lo azu amodef. So for this, they're not going to go and thank the idol. But the second opinion is that you can't even do that, because sameach hu la'achar zman, eventually they will rejoice, I guess, to have the debt off their backs. L'machar b'yom edo v'azu amodef. So tomorrow he'll go and he'll thank the idol. So today he's not happy about it, tomorrow he's glad that it's over with. Ve'en halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, but the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. V'davka b'malva b'shtar aser l'hafra mehem. And it's only lending with a document that you can't collect from them during this 3-day period before the holiday. Ava b'malva apeshari. But for an oral loan, you can collect mipnei shu kamatsu miyadam, because you're saving the money from their hands. You don't have the documentation to back it up and collect later, so you're better off making sure you get paid now. Okay, that is the end of Mishnah Aleph, and join us tomorrow. We will continue this chapter with Mishnayos Beis and Gimel.